left off on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Rabbi Blum mentions that he has yahrzeit now for his father, so we dedicate the learning in his memory, with Chanoch Henoch ben Reuven. We learned the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where it says that Mekach HaMemkar is not permissible on Yontif and Kal V'chomer on Shabbos. And the reason why is Gzeira Shema Yichtov. Parenthetically, someone raised the issue last week after we finished learning the Chasam Sofer and Chelik Yeridaya in the end of Chelik Choshem Mishpat. The Chasam Sofer in the end of the Shadis of Chuvas Chelik Choshem Mishpat, he doesn't have so many Chuvas on Choshem Mishpat as on the other Chalokim. So at the end of Choshem Mishpat, he has Hashmotis, he has Chuvas on all miscellaneous topics that really belong in earlier volumes. So he has one Chuvah there about the topic of Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos and Yontif. Is it an Iser? Is it an Iser de Araisa? Is it an Iser de Rabbanon? Is it Midiri Kabbalah? Midiri Kabbalah means an Iser de Rabbanon that's recorded in the Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So what status does it have? So he points out that there's a triple contradiction between three Rashis. That one Rashi is over here on Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph, about seven lines from the top, Mishumekach HaMemkar. Mekach HaMemkar Asa Min HaMikro Shenemar Mimtzach HaFotzecha V'daber Dover. He quotes in Yeshaya Mimtzach HaFotzecha V'daber Dover. So that means it's Medivri Kabbalah, a pasuk in Yeshaya Medivri Kabbalah. Then there's a Rashi on the Rif that we're not too sure who wrote the Rashi on the Rif. Rashi on the Rif usually has the same as Rashi, but once in a while there's a different word. Usually when there's a Laz in Rashi, so Rashi will give you a French word and Rashi on the Rif will give you the same word in German. So we're not sure exactly what that means. Anyway, so Rashi on the Rif writes Mekach HaMemkar Anisa Deraisa. What's Anisa Deraisa? And then in another place Rashi writes Gzeira Shem Yichtov. That's how Rashi ends up Gzeira De Rabbanu Shem Yichtov. So that's what the Chasam Sofer discusses. What's the Anisa Deraisa? How can it possibly be an Issa Deraisa, and when is it only a Gzeira Midirabbanon? So the Chasam Sofer makes a suggestion which Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a whole yahrzeit drasha assuming like that. Chasam Sofer, Rav Soloveitchik said it a little sharper. He's the Rav started with a Rambam. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Shabbos. He writes that there are four mitzvahs. Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs as the introduction to the whole Yad HaZaka. He lists off all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and then he says, and now I'm going to write a whole Yad HaZaka to explain all the details of all the Mitzvahs. How do you keep all these Mitzvahs? And in the beginning of every section, he tells you, I'm going to discuss, in the next session, I'm going to discuss so many Mitzvahs. And then he goes ahead to explain, how do you do Kiddush, how do you do Abdullah. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of the section of Hilchas Shabbos that there are four Mitzvahs. Two are Min HaTorah, Zachar V'Shamar, and two are Dibur Kabbalah. Kibud v'yoynik. The pasuk says in Shai v'chibaratai v'karosa v'shamis toynik. Kibud v'yoynik. So the Rambam writes two aminatara zachar v'shamar and two shnayim shenis parshu al yidei hanavim. What kind of a terminology is that? Two mitzvah shenis parshu. So how do you translate the word? Two mitzvah shenis parshu al yidei hanavim. Shenis parshu means that they were spelled out. That they were spelled out. Oh, so the Rav learned that they were explained. The Rav learned that it means that these two kibud v'yoinig are really a mitzvah deraisa, but you wouldn't have guessed it on your own. Which is the mitzvah deraisa? It's not shomer. Shomer is shmirah Shabbos aloises and not to do malacha. That's all. Kibud v'yoinig is a pirush. It's nisparshu. That's a pirush in zachar. If not for the pasuk in Yeshaya, you would have thought that zachar is zachrehu lahazikir. Just to mention kiddush and kiddush and avdola. The Ramashit is kiddush and avdola. They're both deraisa. So comes the Novi Yeshaya. And he's mefarish that kibud v'yoinig are also included in zachar yom Shabbos lekatsha. So it's really a din deraisa. So that's basically what that Chasam Sofer says. Also, he doesn't quote that Rambam within his parshu. He quotes this Rashi on the Rif that whereas Rashi on the Daf on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says that it's osam min hamikra, it's midiri kabbalah. He doesn't say min hatur osam min hamikra d'chsiv in Yeshaya. The Rashi on the Rif says osam min hatur. How can it become osam min hatur but a pasuk in Yeshaya? So he says also, must be that this is included, the Novi Yishai's Megala, that this is included in Zohar. And then the Chasam Sofer wants to make a distinction. Rather, this tshuva is not about Mekach HaMemkar. I think that tshuva is about the doctor in the hospital, about the doctor treating the patients. He talks about doctors treating patients on Shabbos. There was a Fruma doctor in Presburg, in the Balabatim HaGahatataina, that there was once a Nochri farmer who lived on the outskirts of the city who was very sick. He was deathly sick, so he sent his horse and carriage and a servant and a worker to pick up the Yiddish doctor, to take him to treat the Goyish patient, and then to bring it back to the city. So all the Balabatim in the city were upset why the doctor was Mechal Shabbos to go treat the Nochri. So some sofer says, Vasateg Yitan, what was he Mechal Shabbos? He went Chutz L'Tchum, so he says it's not really Deraisa, and even if your Tchum is Deraisa, not in this kind of an Eifa, it makes the whole Cheshbon why it wasn't an Issa Deraisa. And then he says it was Amir Eliakum, he didn't carry anything, the Nochri carried everything, and the Nochri was driving the horse and the buggy. He knocks everything down, he explains that the doctor was a Fruma doctor, he only did him the Rabbana.
You sit down and you don't ride,
it's mukta. Masa midirabbanan, yeah, it's also to ride on a horse. To have, so he explains that everything is only the Rabbana. And then he says, look, if there's a Nochri, you have to violate even an Issa Deraisa. Mishum Eva, yeah. Usually Eva is only a matter in Issa Derabbana, but he says we have to be concerned, they can make a pogrom. But he's the only doctor in town. He can't say, I'm on vacation, go get another doctor. There was no other doctor. He was the only doctor. It was a Fruma Yid. He's going to say, I don't want to treat the Nochri. So they'll make a pogrom, they'll kill someone. So the suffix Sakon Tayid, they'll make a pogrom. They'll kill him, they'll kill some other Yid. So that's the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer there. Moshe Feinstein writes that the doctors today are permitted and obligated to treat the Nochri even to the extent of being Mechal Shabbos, not Nishkem Brere, because of the Chashash Eva. The Mishnah Brure writes, in the name of the Prima Godim, a terrible thing that the Fruma doctors on Mechal Shabbos to treat Nochrim, and he doesn't have any heta whatsoever. He doesn't see any heta. So Moshe Feinstein writes, he doesn't understand the Mishnah Brewer wasn't aware of the Chasam Sofer, that the Chasam Sofer and the Divrei Chaim also, they both write that all the Rabbanim got together and they decided in Hungary, they all got together and they all decided per echad that the doctors have to treat the Nochrim because otherwise they'll make a pogrom. It'll cause so much anti-Semitism, it'll create a suffix sakana to many Yidin. So Moshe writes, he's very surprised, Hakna Mishnah Brura just write in the name of the Prima Godim that it's also, he didn't realize how much anti-Semitism there was. So in that shul of the Chasam Sofer, he talks about the doctor sitting all day in a hospital, what's the status? What's wrong? If let's say he doesn't do any malacha. So he says, no, with the kibbutz Shabbos, with the oinek Shabbos, if you do Mekech HaMemka all day long, even though you don't violate any malachas, but that's a violation of the Din Deraisa of Kibud V'yoinig, of Shabbosan, and he has a long arichas on what you're supposed to do on Shabbos. Forgetting about the Yisuri Malacha, what's Shabbosik and what's not Shabbosik. So in the middle of that shuva, he discusses this detail, that if a person keeps his shop open all day long, that's a violation of an Issa Deraisa of Zohar. The pasuk kibud v'yoinig is megala that this is a violation of the din deraisa of zocher. But let's say a person doesn't keep his shop open a whole day.
Somebody asked him.
In shul, someone wants one thing. I have a sefer. I have an extra sefer. Someone buys a sefer for me. He takes it and he promises to pay me after Shabbos. He just does a mekach hamemka one thing. Very Shabbosik. What's so bad? It's a holy sefer on Parshas Hashavua. What's wrong? So he says, that's a violation of the Rabbanan. That's Gzeri Shem Yichtov. But if a guy's going to keep his shop open all day long, and do Mekkech HaMemka all day long, that's an Issa Deraisa, according to the Rashi and the Rish.
But I thought Rebbe told us last week that there's no Gzeri Shem Yichtov if he hands it to you from Miyad Liyad.
A Matana. The Meiri says, a Chiddush, a Matana Miyad Liyad, if it's a Mekkech that he didn't pay yet, so then there's a Chasha Shem Yichtov. Or if it's, let's say, a matana of karkas, a karka, benoik shaboilim, we keep records to know. But if it's a matana of metaltalim, miyad liyad, so there's nothing to write down. He doesn't owe any money, and I just gave it to him. So it's not that we made a Kenyan suitor and I have to deliver the goods. He has it already. So that's what the Miri writes, a matana of metaltalim, miyad liyad, then there's no gzeirish
and
liyad.
Right,
that's what the Miri says. Anyway, this is the Mishnah, the Mecca. You're not permitted to be kind of a Shabbos. So the Meiri has a Chiddush, then a Matana, Metaltal, and Miyad Liyad is Mutal. That's his Chiddush. And others disagree. The Bahag disagree. But Makam Mitzvah is Mutal. Shalom Makam Mitzvah is not Mutal. Yeah.
But that wouldn't apply to Mekkah Kamakam.
No. If they're charging money, then there is a Hashash Shem Yichta. Right. So on this Mishnah that you're not permitted to do Mekkah Kamakam, yeah.
What about the
Better?
It's okay.
Leichter? So the doctor didn't have to violate Chumen to go Chutzla Chumen. He didn't have to violate riding with the horse and the buggy. He violated a few derabbanans. It's better there. He violates less. Yeah. Some service is permitted to violate even their ISIS because it's such a chashash of a pogrom. It's a suffix sakona to the Eden. So in this Mishnah that it says you're not permitted to do any form of Mekkah Hamemka. So one example of Mekkah Hamemka, one of the more exotic examples of Mekkah Hamemka was Afrosh's Trumas and Maisris, that when the farmer has all of the tvua, all the pears that grew in Eretz Yisrael, everything is tevel. When he declares this should be the 2% should be Truma Gdoila, 10% should become Maisa Rishon, and the next 9%, the 10% of what's left, should become a Maisa Sheni. So the Truma Gdoila now belongs to the Shevet Kahuna, and the 10% after the Kher Hashem Maisa Rishon belongs to the Shevet Leviyah, and the Maisa Sheni is Mama Gavoya. So change his ownership. So that's also a violation of Mekkah Hamemka. Maisa Oni belongs to the Anim, and no longer belongs to the farmer. So that's where the Mishnah puts it together. Like a matana, yeah.
Anytime you have a hekesh.
No, the hafrasha itself is off. The Mishnah says the hafrasha is off, and then to give it is another reason. That's not chazak. Even if I was mafrishit on Erev Shabbos, but to give it on Shabbos or Yom Tov is not an issa. But to be mafrishit is an issa. The Gemara says you're not allowed to. That was all an extension of this. Even if you hold matana miyad liyad is mutter, but this is us. I don't know. That's how the Gemara says that to give it is also us. Unless you were permitted to be mafreshit on yontif. Let's say I mixed flour and water and I made a dough. I made a nisa on yontif. So lisha is mutter on yontif and it became tevel on yontif. So then you're permitted to be mafrish nechala on yontif to be allowed to eat it, and then once you are allowed to be mafrish nechala on yontif, you're allowed to give it to the kohen also on yontif. But on Shabbos, when you're not allowed to mix the flour with the water, or on yontif, if you mix the flour with the water on erev yontif, you already did the leash on erev yontif, so you could have been mafrish on erev yontif. Then there's no heter neither to be mafrish on yontif, nor to give the nesin on yontif. That's how the Gemara says over here. No. Put it aside, yeah. The Mishnah has a problem on Pesach. Ketz mafrish and chala betuma on Pesach, because he can burn it, and then it's going to become chametz if you let it rise. By us, it's not a problem. We use matzah mel, but if you don't use matzah mel, so if you let it sit, it's going to become chametz. So that's a big problem that the Mishnah himself works on. Ketz mafrish and chala betuma on yontif. If it's chala tahara, so you bake it and you give it to a kohen, so the kohen can eat it. But it's challah tomato, you're not allowed to bake it, no one's allowed to eat it. So it's all machlekes hatanoim. What do you do in such a case? So the Mishnah gives special examples, special exotic examples of this Isser of Mekkah Hamemka. So one exotic example was Afrosh's Trumas HaMaisis. Then another example was Hakdosha. If you magdish something, is also, with a little stretch, that's also Mekkah Hamemka, because before I was magdish it belonged to me, and after I was magdish it, and now belongs to Hegdish. So that's also Ashini Bailus, Ashini Rishus, and it's also Mekkah Hamemka. Amiroso la Gavoya, Kim Siroso la Hedidamim. When I say this should be a carbon oil, this should be a carbon shlomim, or if he donates it to the Berek Abayis, that's if he gives to the Mizbeach, but or if he gives to the Berek Abayis, it becomes Hegdish, the moment. So making something Hegdish is also a violation of Mekkah Hamemka. The Rabbana, it's all the Rabbana. Gzeir Hashem Yichta. All the Rabbana, Gzeir Hashem Yichta. Yeah. Here there's a famous. What kind of? May keep a record? Yeah.
If I mafresh Truma and I give it to a Kohen, I'm really giving something that belongs to him.
Right?
Right? If someone, if I owe someone.
Yeah, I can't have a portion. Let's go.
I have someone else's.
Pikudin, you're allowed to give back a halvoy, you're not allowed to pay back. Let's say, not that he lent me money. Let's say he lent me 5 pounds of potatoes. And I'm going to give him back 5 pounds of potatoes. How can I not allow them? That's a Mishnah and Shabbos.
I give him a matana, though.
You can give him a matana, but you can't say, but then you still owe him the 5 pounds of potatoes. He'll ask you for the 5 pounds of potatoes. That's why we don't do Pidyon HaBen. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't do Pidyon HaBen. If the 31st day, we do Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph, on the 31st day, after 30 full days are up. So if the Yom Laman Aleph falls out on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't do Pidyon HaBen, because that's considered like Piron HaChov. And Piron HaChov is forbidden, because Erech Shema Yichtov, it's also part of the Mekka HaMemka. So this is a famous Machlekes, the Rabbeinu Hananel and all the Rishonim, the Ran in the end of Masechus Shabbos quotes this, when it says, Ein Magdishin, what does that refer to? So Rabbeinu Hananel says it only goes on Magdishin, an object, a Bien. You want to be magdish an animal, or you want to be magdish donate a sefer Torah to the shul or to the Beis HaMikdash or something like that. But what if he's going to pledge? Let's say he gets an aliyah and says babush and he pledges $100 to the shul. So Rabbeinu Hananel holds that that's not a violation of Mekka HaMemka. Violation of Mekka HaMemka is only if there's an object that I'm giving over to the shul or to the tzedakah or to the hegdish, and I'm irasa l'gavaya, making a statement of kinesirasa l'hegdish, then that accomplishes the kinyan. And the act of the kinyan is the Mekka HaMemka, but if you just pledge that the shibud, a neder, is chayvus, so that's not a violation. And the Ran disagrees. Even though in some shuls the Gabbai writes it down, in some Orthodox shuls the Gabbai writes it down. After the davening, he writes it down, yeah. Even though there's what to be concerned about. So he says, so Rabbeinu Hananel says that's not allowed to write it down. He didn't say you're allowed to write it down. He just said that there's no violation of Mekka HaMemka if you're just right. Pledging. And most of the Rishonim disagree. And the Ran asks, how can he say that? It says, Loi Marichin. You can insist that Loi Magdishin means not to be Magdish a particular object. Loi Machrim, and you say, Hareza Cherem LaGavoya, Hareza Cherem LaKohanim. So you're giving it either to the Kohanim or either to Hegdish. But Loi Marichin is Harei Alai Erko Alai. You're accepting upon yourself to give an amount of money. So it's Beferish against Rabbeinu Hananel. How can
but
he say that?
It's
only Amira. It's only Amira. Right. And still it's us, even though you're only pledging to give an amount of money to Hegdish. So that's where most of the Rishonim reject the Rabbeinu Hananel. So tell her, how can you reject the Rabbeinu Hananel? Tosfos always has a lashon called Vorv Diri Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Hananel had traditions from the Goyim, not Kabbalah mysticism, but Kabbalah he was from the early Rishonim. He always has traditions from the days of the Goyim, so there must have been Goyim that he got it from. He didn't invent it. Whenever Rabbeinu Hananel has something strange that no one else ever dreamt of, so they say he got it sitter from Rabbeinu Hananel called Rav Diri Kabbalah. He didn't invent it, he must have had a tradition. So what? So how does it fit in? It's in Gansan Atois, it's in Gansan Ruang. So there's a famous Shilta Giborim on the side of the Rif. There's the Shilta Giborim. He's called in Shulchan Aruch when they quote him and the Ramo quotes him, he calls him the Hagos Alfasi, Hagos on the side of the Rif. So the Shilta Giborim usually just quotes what the Smag says and what the Rosh says and what the Rambam says, and once in a while a Shaitan Egen Ishtikol Torah. So on the first parak in Avodah Zarah, there's a wild Shilta Giborim who comes to defend this Rabbeinu Hananel. What's it doing in Avodah Zarah? Because there's a similar topic over there. It shouldn't be in Avodah Zarah. It's Abkiyas. It's on the first parak in Avodah Zarah, the Shilta Giborim defends Rabbeinu Hananel by saying the following. If I say Erko Alai, Erech Pleini Alai, I say Erki Alai. So what does that mean? Hare Alai, I accept upon myself to donate an amount of money to Hegdish. How much will the money be? Depending on the age of the person, whether it's a man or a woman, or whatever it says in Chumash. If I say Dom of Alai, it's I take a pledge to give to Hegdish the amount that he's worth if I would sell him on the slave market. And if I say Erko Alai, I have to give the amount that it's, the specific amount that it says in Chumash. So that's a pledge to give an amount of money. Zoktanein, that's not the pshat. The pshat is, I was magdish the person, and the Torah says I'm mechuyev to be paid to the person. How can I be magdish the person? He doesn't belong to me. With respect to this, he belongs to me. He doesn't. With respect to this, he does belong to me. I'm only magdish him with respect to the fact that I have to be paid to him, and I hegdish. So since when I say erko alai, I'm magdish the person, so therefore that's like hakdoshas bien.
But that's shein shalosh. How can he be magdish?
So that's what he asked, the shein shalosh. Right? That's what the hagos alfasi asked on himself. So he says, with respect to this with respect to what am I magdishin? That I'm mechuyev to be paid to him and give the money to Hegdish. With respect to this, I own everybody and everything in the world. With respect to that I could be magdishin vis-a-vis that I'll have to be paid to. So he says this in order to defend Rabbeinu Hananel. And then they point out there's a Mabit, a contemporary Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Sfas in the 1500s, and he wrote a commentary among other things. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch also. He wrote a Beis Yosef, a commentary on the Torah, and among other things, wrote the Kabbalah. And among other things, he wrote the commentary on the Rambam, on the side of the Rambam, that's called the Kesef Mishnah. So a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo, who lived in Sfas at the same time, was the Mabit. One of the people who got smichus. So the Madid also wrote a commentary on the Rambam and the Yarech HaZoka. It's called the Kirya Sefer. It was not as popular. It was not as accepted as the Kes Mishnah. So that's why the Kes Mishnah is printed on the side of all the Rambams and all the standard editions. Everybody uses the Kes Mishnah because Kes Mishnah always gives you a Marim HaKonis. He says this is a Babli and this is a Yerushalmi and this is a Tosefta and this is whatever. He gives you all the Marim HaKonis. This is from the Goyim and this the Ramban disagrees and the Goyim agree. Whatever. He gives you a whole Makkah. And this Sefer, Kirya Sefer, by the Mabid, he always has something exotic. If you want excitement, you look at the Kirya Sefer. Oh, it's something very wild. Instead of giving a normal Marim HaKonis, he gives something out of the way. So usually, if someone has to say a chabur, if a young person has to say a shtikl Torah, an yeshiva, an original shtikl Torah, they look in the Mabit and they'll find something original, something to say that's out of this world, and they'll farem for some kashas or another. Question is it correct or not? He has such wild things. So he has some kind of a difficulty, has some kind of a problem in a Rambam and Hilchas Erechin, and he says the same thing that the Shilti Gibarim says. Shilti Gibarim writes it to defend the Rabbeinu Hananel, that when you say Erko Alai, it's not a pledge to give an amount of money. No, if it would have been a pledge to give an amount of money, it would have been mutter on Shabbos. Pledging an amount is mutter. It's not included in a magdish. So the word is, a marich means I'm magdish the person with respect to the fact that I'm not mechuyev to be paid to him and to give the pigeon to the hedge. Shver evor. But ungenomen is not so. Ungenomen is that it's forbidden even to pledge money on Shabbos Yontov to make a pledge. So that's what the Rishonim say. How do you say babush another? When you give an aliyah, how do you say nedarim? So some young Israelis, they did away with all the nedarim. Okay, they're very medactic.
They make a peel,
not for that reason. So all the Rishonim asked this kasha, how do they make appeals in shuls? There are two problems. One problem is the sugya nedarim in the first daf in Chulin. The pasuk says in Koheles, Tova Shelatidar, Nishetidar
Lashav.
So it says the pasuk says it's better not to take a neder, preferable not to take a neder rather than to take a neder and to violate it. But what if the fellow takes the neder and he does pay it off? So one Tana says, Tov Mizeh Mizeh. So that doesn't say in the pasuk. It just says two options, Tova Shelatidar, Nishetidar Lashav. What about Noider Mekayim? So that's a machleg Zameir Reb Yudah on the first daf in Chulin and the first perik in the Dorim daf Zayin or something. So that's one question. How are you permitted to make an appeal at all? It's tov mizeh mizeh sheinu noida kolika. That's the kasha. So all the Rishonim say, if you look on the first daf in the Dorim and the Rif, in the back of the Gemara in the Dorim, they have the Rif and they have the Ramban. Then on the side they have the two commentaries, they have the Nemuk Yosef and they have the Ritva, on the two sides of the Rif and the Ramban on the Dorim. So on the first daf, on daf Aleph, on an Aleph, and the Rif on the Dorim, they both quote this problem. So they say the answer is that Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shein Anoida Kolika, the reason why it's not proper to take any in the Dorim all year long, forget about Shabbos Yontov, it's not proper to ever take a Neder is because we're afraid that he may forget and he'll violate the Neder. But if you have an appeal in Shul, and the Gaboyim are going to keep a record, and they will chepe you. After Shabbos, they will send you a bill, and they won't let you live, and they'll chepe you, so then it's mutter. So it's only mutter to make an appeal. According to what he said, it's only mutter to make an appeal if you have Gaboyim who are going to remind you. That's what it comes out. Or they quote the other heter, mitzvah lida b'yeis tzoro. It says, but Yankov is running away from Esau. In the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, it says, "Vayida Yankiv Neder Leimer Yil Lekini Mari took a neder." So the Medrash asks, "Why does it say Leimer? What does it mean by Dabashem Moshe Leimer?" So it does mean by Dabashem Moshe, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Leimer means saying." Gemara says it doesn't mean that. Gemara says in Yuma, "Leimer means Leimer Li Yisrael." By Dabashem Moshe, the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Leimer Li Yisrael to deliver the following message to the Bnei Yisrael." So if that's the Pshat Leimer, so what's Pshat over here? Vayida Yankiv Neder Leimer. What says Leimer? So the Medrash says, Lema Ledeiris. Yankiv took an eder to teach to all the future Jewish people and the future generations that it's a mitzvah lidor b'yeis tzora. Even though under normal circumstances it's never proper to take an eder, but if it's proper to take New Year's resolutions. New Year's is an eis tzora, it's a yom adin, or Pesach Shavuot Sukkos a yom adin, Yom Kippur is a yom adin, Gemara Chasima, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos is yom adin. The Mishnah says that the Pesach nidorim ala tvua, And on Shavuos we daren al peres ha'ilon, and on Sukkot we daren al ha'mayin. So since it's Yimei Hadin, it's Nidon, so that's an Eis Tzara. So that's included, that's what the Rishonim say, on the first daf in the Dorm. So they say it's a...
How about you? You say the Yitzra on Yom Kippur, we make the Nidon.
Okay. Right? So that's what they're asking. So they say...
The purpose of the Tzara, according to the Shavuot, is the stuff that you're giving in that is that
gives him a kapar.
If I reckon that's a schut, yeah.
If he is giving the stuff itself.
Right. So they say, so they give these two answers. They say to take a neder, to pledge, to make an appeal, or to take a pledge on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yemei Hadin, or Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, that the Olam is Nidon. These are all Yemei Hadin. So that's a mitzvah lido b'yeis tzorah. That we learn out from Yankim Avinu. We the Yankim neder lemer lemer the doris, that it's a mitzvah to take a neder. And we're not afraid that he's going to forget to fulfill it. He took the neder b'yeis tzorah, made a deal with the Rabbanu Shalom. Not time he took a pledge, he made a deal. I'll give you this, and you give me a good year, a good kibben shtyar. So since he made a deal, so we're not afraid. And what if it's tam an appeal, not on Rosh Hashanah and Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, tam on a regular Shabbos? So then the Rishonim say the oikos. Tam you get an aliyah, and you say babush anora. So the only heter is if you have a gabbai who's going to chepa you. But if it's not an ace tzorah, no one is sick, and there's no ace tzorah, it's not a yom adin, and then there's no gabbai who's going to chepa, so then it's taka not permissible, it's not proper to take a neder. That's what the Rishonim say. So that's regarding the issue of tov mizeh mizeh she'en a neder kolika. That's how we assume best is never to take any neder. But there's an added problem. How do you take a neder on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What happened to Eim Magdishin? So going to Rabbeinu Hananel, that's not a problem. Eim Magdishin is only a violation if you give an object to donate a sefer Torah. Let's say they used to have a practice to donate a sefer Torah on Yom Tov. So that's not. Give on Chalamai. Don't give on Yom Tov. You're not about to give on Yom Tov. That's Eim Magdishin. You're giving over a chepta to the Beis HaKnesses on Yom Tov. But most of the Rishonim don't hold like the Rabbeinu Hananel. Most of the Rishonim hold Eim Magdishin even includes not to take a pledge, to obligate yourself to give money to the shul or to the yeshiva or to the tzedakah. So how come we make appeals on Shabbos and Yom Tov? There should be an Issa. There should be an Issa mitam, Eim Magdishin. Right. That's the kasha. That's exactly the kasha. The mekach hamem because exeru shema yichtov, and we paskin that the shema yichtov doesn't only limit itself to the case where he's magdish an object, even if he pledges to give an amount of money. We want the gabbai to remember to chepa me, that it shouldn't be an iser of not to take a neder. So the gabbai is going to remember. So isn't there a chashash he's going to write it down on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And in many shuls they do write it down. Many Orthodox shuls they do write it down. So why isn't there a gzeir v'shem yichtav? That's what the Rishonim ask on the first daf in the door. So they quote the Gemara in Psochin. The Gemara says that once Erev Pesach was chalias b'Shabbos, and they didn't know. Apparently they had forgotten. They didn't know whether he's supposed to bring a korban Pesach or not. Whether the korban Pesach is derech Hashem. He said the dreng ahin and tzirik. Whether you do, you don't. So Hillel lived 100 years before the korban by Sheni. So Hillel was present and he came and he started to give him a whole explanation that yes, it is. He heard from Shmai Vavtalian that it is Deiche, Korban Pesach is Deiche Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, fine, Korban Pesach is Deiche Shabbos, but how could he be Magdish, the Korban Pesach? You're not allowed to be a Magdishin. They didn't know what to do. So till Shabbos afternoon, nobody was Magdish at Korban Pesach. So Hillel came and he gave a whole pilpul. Everybody should bring Korban Pesach. So fine, Makrav, the Hakrav is Deiche Shabbos. But what about the Hakdoshe? So the Gemara says, if you have to be makrav a korban pesach today, can't wait till tomorrow. So you're permitted to be magdish at all.
That's part of the korban.
So some rishonim say that's part of the korban, just like the korban is doiche. A korban is mana kavua. Is doiche the hakrov is doiche the shchita is doiche. So the hakdosh is also doiche Shabbos. The hakdosh is also doiche yontif. Another rishonim word it differently. It doesn't mean that just like the hakrov the shchita and the hakrov is doiche. So the Hakdosh is also Deicha the Yisad the Rabbanon and Magdishin. They say no, what it means is whenever there's a Shas HaTchak, whenever it's Balais Breire, then it's Mutal HaHagdish B'Shabbos B'Yontav. So that's what the Rishonim say, if that's the word, that it's not that just like the Hakrovik, Korbish is Manakavu is Deicha Shabbos, the Shchita with the Hakrov is Deicha, so who Adinami the Hakdosh is Deicha. No, it means whenever there's a Shas HaTchak, so it's Deicha. So if you have a tzedakah organization that really needs money, so it depends. If it's a reiche yeshiva, they want to put away money to help them in another 25 years. They're afraid they're going to run out of money in another 25 years. Now they have enough money. They're afraid what's going to be in another 25 years. So there's no shas adchak. So that kind of an appeal you're not allowed to make on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if it's a yeshiva like all the yeshivas, that they're 25 years behind, not that they're worried what's going to be in another 25 years, they're 25 years behind in payment. They owe everybody, they owe the sun, the moon, and the stars, they owe everybody money. They have no money. So, or any tzedakah organization where they're all in the red, they have no money. So that's a shas adchak. So then you're allowed to. Eim akdishin is mutter. That's included in the heter and the Gemara.
So it's the same thing.
Gemara says, when they're Pesach. No, but Eistzara, that's matter, a different Eistzara. Eistzara is matter, the Eistzara of Shalom Lido, we say Mitzvah Lido. And this is a different word then. Whenever you have a Shas Atchak, so we say it's mutter to make the Mekkah HaMemka.
Even in those days, they have to give a korban, because even though it was Mekkah in the Neda, because it's better not to. So he gives a korban after.
No, no. That's a question. Okay, maybe.
Is it
Rabbanon?
Is it Heimam over Heimam? In other words, that's
who says Heimam? The first Heimam says in the Mishnah that Mekkah and Memkah is
also. That's a personal obligation. I obligate myself privately. I give it a dog or whatever I want to do. Maybe I can't do that. But this is a sequel thing. Maybe it's different.
No, that's the question. How do you know it's Mutter? Maybe it's Heimam over Heim Lo-Amru. The Isser is here. The question, who says that there's a Heter? So that's what they dug up. The Gemara says, when Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos and you weren't Magdish the Beim yet, you can be Magdish today. So half of the Rishonim say, it doesn't mean that the Hakrov is Deicha Shabbos or the Hakdosh is also Deicha Shabbos. No, it doesn't have to be like that. It's Hashas Atchak, so the Makkah Mitzvah, like we said, the Bahak said, how can you give the Dalav Minim a Matanam and Aslo Achzer on Yontav Aitz Mekech HaMemkar? So the Bahak says, the Makkah Mitzvah is Mutzvah. So that's what they said, the Makkah Mitzvah, Hatish Kembreire. You have to raise money and the people come to shul on Shabbos and on Yom Tov.
There was a custom.
Right, so the Meiri gave the other answer. It's a matana liyad liyad b'metaltalim. So there's no answer, but the Bahag didn't give that answer. The Bahag answered that the Makkah Mitzvah is Mutter. So that's basically what these Rishonim said. Okay, right.
There was a custom to announce the pledges in money other than the currents. I wouldn't say dollars, they would say rubles, golden, things of that sort.
The lake
has different, they don't know where it helps, according to what you just explained.
Mean not to violate Dabba Dabba?
I don't know. I never said in Poland, lotus, or here, dollars, they would talk about Rhinish or
points.
You used
to say
points.
The lake
has points. We're going to sell the lake of points, they didn't have left the seller.
Yeah. Okay. So we have to distinguish between a malacha and this. This is nishke malacha deraisa, nishke malacha derabban. This is gzeira. So this is gzeira. But makom mitzvah, they weren't goyza. That's how the Rishonim said. But makom mitzvah, they weren't goyza. Yeah.
So the Gaboim are the ones
I don't know. The Gemara says it there that if a few people are learning together in the same sefer, they're learning together. I don't know.
Can you think also about how Rambam is the power of several people around
you? Yeah. Don't remember. Anyway, this is all in the Mishnah, the various examples of Mekkah HaMemkah. So then the Mishnah gave the other example that we spent a lot of time about last week, that you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yom. Kiddushin. Lo Mekachin. One is not permitted to do Kiddushin. Lo Meyabim to do Yibum. And then Tosfos quoted the Yerushalmi, even if they already made Kiddushin a year ago, they want to do Nisuin today. Nisuin is also not allowed on Yom. Then the Shaila is, what about to give a get? They are married. They decide they want to get divorced. So to write a get on Shabbos is some halacha. There's nothing to discuss. You can't write a get. What if the get was written already in the weekdays? And they want to give the get on Shabbos. So giving a get is a kinyan shtar. It's a kinyan shtar, but no one is acquiring anything. The woman acquires her freedom. no one is acquiring anything. The get cancels the issues. There was issues, and the get cancels an issues. It's a maisa kinyan that doesn't bring a chalois kinyan. Maisa kinyan cancels the chalois issues that was there before.
It's a matter.
Matter. She's entitled to collect the ksuba. Okay.
So
the ksuba, Shiba ksuba was there all along. In the event that the husband. In the event that the marriage will be terminated, so she's entitled to collect the ksuba. So that's the shaila. That doesn't say the fair. That's what Tosis writes. The last line of Tosis. Kemokay, my time day mekachon lefish near kikana kinyan asur. Kemokay, asa kemokay losses get b'shabbos. Just like the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be mekadosh and isha.
You're not turning anything over there either.
Right. So too, you're not permitted to give a get. Another mesich this Tosis quotes that it says someone Tosefta. We don't have to have different girsas. Our Tosefta doesn't have such a line. But Tosis had such a girsa that it says in Tosefta that to give a get is not permissible on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's why Tosis has a problem. The Gemara in Gittin tells the story. Gittin Dafayin Zayin on the base. That's one of the cross references for the Tosis. Tosis has this topic discussed in all these Marmakim. So one is in Gittin Dafayin Zayin. Gemara tells the story. A man had written a get in advance of Shabbos, and then it became late Friday afternoon, and he didn't give the get. And then on Shabbos, he took sick, and he was mamish about to die. And it would have been, if he dies, gishtarm. So then she's permitted to remarry. But the mice was that she would need chalitza. And it would be a big tircha to get the husband to do chalitza. So it would have been easier if they would give a get, and there wouldn't be any problem of chalitza. So the Gemara says that because it was a big Shas Adchak, so they gave the get on Shabbos. So Tosis Frek Takashe. They have this Tosefta that you're not allowed to give a get on Shabbos. Other Rishonim say there is no such Tosefta, there is no such din, and it's mutter, there's no problem. But Tosis insists, no, that it's forbidden to give a get. It's a Kenyan shtar to cancel issues. It's like same thing as shtar shichur evit knaini, also such a thing. Shtar shichur evit knaini is a Kenyan shtar, but it doesn't make a halos Kenyan, it cancels the abdus. There was abdus before, and the shtar shichur cancels the status of abdus. That's the same shaila. Is it forbidden to give a shtar shichur evi knaini on Shabbos and Yom Tov? No, the same shaila as a get. Is it forbidden?
Doesn't it require kinyan?
That's the shaila. Does the gzeira shem yechkev apply? Yeah, but they only made the gzeira of Mekka Chamemka. We don't find that they made another gzeira. That's the question. Is this included in the category of Mekka Chamemka? So Tosis claims that it is. So what do you do with that Gemara in Gittin? And Gemara says that the man was about to die. He was a Shchiver. So that's what Tosis says. She would have remained in Aguna. In order that you shouldn't remain in Aguna, we are makel that you're permitted to give the get on Shabbos. That's what Tosis says. So they tell over a famous story. Someone mentioned it last week. Tell over a famous story. It's a question of who was the rabbi involved in the story? Which generation was it? Was it Rabbi Zalman or someone later? That's a question who. But there's such a story that a couple moved from Russia to Eretz Yisrael, and the husband was in an automobile accident on Shabbos, and he had a brother, they had no children. The couple had no children. And he was run over by a car, and he knew that he was dying. And if he was going to die, the wife would be stuck because she needed chalitza. And the husband's brother lived in communist Russia under the communists before there was free travel. And it would be highly improbable that she's ever going to get chalitza. So what could you possibly do? So one of the rabbanim gave an etzer that since it was a makam igun, the woman would remain an aguna. You can't write a get, you can't get a goy. If a goy could write a get, it would be great. They ask a goy to write a get, but a goy got to write a get as possible. The get has to be written in Shema. So a goy can't write a get. There's no cooler, but Malka Nigun, there's no cooler that a yid should write a get on Shabbos. Can't do that. Can't be matter to write a get with the left hand either. So what can you do? So one of the rabbanim said, he knew that the brother's sister was also in Eretz. The brother who stayed behind in Russia didn't come to Eretz. The brother's daughter was also in Eretz with this couple. So he told the man on his deathbed, quickly, he should give kiddushin to the niece. He should marry his niece. So when he died, he had two wives. He had his regular wife that he was married to for the last 20, 30 years. And he married to this teenage girl who was the daughter of his brother. So after he dies, so the brother doesn't have any din of Yiba Mahalitza on his daughter. So just like there's no din of Yiba Mahalitza on the daughter, there's no din of Yiba Mahalitza on Saras Habas.
So that the only thing that was over was the Cherem Derabbeinu Geshem.
Huh?
The only thing that he was over was the Cherem Derabbeinu Geshem.
No, ain't Mekachin. You're not allowed to be Mekadosh in Isha.
I'm saying, but he was over on the Cherem Derabbeinu
Geshem. He was over on Cherem Derabbeinu Geshem, and he was over on not to be Mekadosh in Isha on Shabbos. But Tosis claims you're not allowed to give a get on Shabbos either. But for Mokam Igun, you make a lot giving a get. So one of the Rabbanim, whoever it was, in whichever generation, in recent years, in the last century, so one of the Rabbanim said, if you're allowed to give a get, you're allowed to give Kiddushin also, if that will solve Igun. How do you ever have that Kiddushin solves the Igun? By making his wife into a Tzoras Abbas. So that when he dies, he's married to two wives. One is his brother's daughter, and there's no Yibam Mechalitza, there's no Zika on your own daughter. And then his regular wife, the regular Ramana, that's a Tzoras Serva, that's a Tzoras Abbas.
Did she have to sit Shiva? Did you accept the wife? He thought it was only two?
No, no, it says no. Only Ishtu Arusa Shteit Layadandav Lamitamala. There's no Shiva. Only the regular wife has to sit Shiva. That's right. And every sin you don't sit Shiva.
How about if
she married from Gavin? She's an Almana. She just became an Almana.
Even though she was Almana from Kiddush.
Yeah, yeah. So she can't marry a Kohen Gadol. She can marry a Kohen. She can marry a Kohen. She can't marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay. That's the din. That's this mission about Necher HaMemka.
It's an unbelievable Chayim for us. It's an unbelievable Chayim.
Yeah.
Okay, these Gemaras we did with. Let's see here, right? On Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, right before the wide lines. So the Mishnah concludes, the last line in the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amid Beis was, Eimei Yantav L'Shabbos Aleichem Nevesh B'Vat. So we pointed out the same Mishnah appears in Megillah Dav Zayin Amid Beis, exact same line. But Tosis over here, as well as the Megillah, Tosis writes that it has a different meaning. And the Mishnah Megillah is listing off Dinim Derais, Eimei Zavarei L'Shtei Rias, Zavarei Shalosh Rias, Eimei Zavle Zavar. A lot of Einbeins, Einbein Adarishan, Ladarsheni, listing off real important dinim. Here, this Mishnah has Einbein Shabbos Liyat Varech Nevesh Bavad. After all, these dinim, they're Abonon. So, from the context of the Mishnah, you see that it's talking about two different things. The Mishnah in Megillah Davzai means on the level of the Raisa, the Malachas that are Rasa on Shabbos, Rasa on Yantam, unless you have a Echal Nefesh case. And our Mishnah goes on all the dinim, they're Abonon. All the dinim, they're Abonon are exactly the same on Shabbos Yantam. Fake Markasha, it's not true. Yeah, the first line in the Perek says not so. Mishil and Perek derech haruba b'yantav avaloi b'shabbos. They prefer a contradiction. So the Gemara says you're right. It's a contradiction. It represents a machlekes hatanaim. The first line in the Perek is one tana who's mekel. That there's a kula on yantav that doesn't apply to Shabbos. This is not a echal nefesh. He's not going to eat it on yantav. The first tana and the first line is one shita, and the last line in this Mishnah Lamed Rav Beis is a different shita. Machlekes hatanaim. So the Gemara wants to know, that's very nice. What are the names? This is everything is anonymous. Who's who? Which Tana is it? So where does it say in Shas anywhere that there's a Machlekes Hatanoim regarding Yontif and Dinim de Rabbanon, whether you have a right to be making on things that are not really Echal Nefesh? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef on the first wide line. Or Minu, how can the Mishnah say Shabbos Yontif the same? The first line of the Mishnah says Fakir. Mishilim derech haru b'yantav aloi b'shabbos astire. Am Rav Yosef loy kashe machlokes hatanoim. Who is who? Zokter Horeb Lezer Horeb Yeshua. The Tanya, we have it the Sefta. There's a machlokes of Lezer Reb Yeshua. Reb Lezer is always the strict opinion. Reb Lezer is from the Beis Shammai. He's usually the more strict opinion. Reb Yeshua is from the Beis Hillel. He's always the lenient opinion. What's the machlokes? So we once discussed it. There's machlokes also has been osher noflu lebor an yantav. A mother and a vlad fell into a bor, and they're gonna anyantiv, and they're gonna die there. It's not comfortable there. It's not a good place to stay. So, are you allowed to be mechalal yantiv? Are you permitted to do a malacha in order to bring them up? A malacha you're not allowed to do. The shayla is, what about a tirche? You throw someone down, lower someone down with a rope, and then throw down a rope, and not make a knot. Don't make a knot, roll it around like you do glila. Roll it around the behemah and schlep up the behemah. It weighs a ton, you're going to schlep up the behemah, yontif. So it's going to be, and then what are you going to do already? So what can you be matzah? So the Reb Lezer says, malas harishon almanos l'shochto, you make a decision. Let's say one of them, you're afraid the one that's going to remain down is may get killed, may die. Because it's not comfortable there. You can throw down food, that's not a problem. But if you're afraid, even if you throw down food, lower down food for the behemah, it may still die because it's so uncomfortable there. So you have to make a decision. Which one do you want to save? want to save the fatter one that's more healthy, that's more valuable, make up your mind which one you want to save for sure, and which one, if one has to die, mi yichya mi yomus. So you pull one up and you shecht it. I'm not really interested, I already ate fleshiks on Yontif in the morning. So I'll take it up, I'll do a tircha to take it up in order to shecht it, in order to eat a little more fleshiks on Yontif. And the one that's down on the bottom, I'll throw down food. That's all. That's the best hat that Rav Lezer can kvetch us. Malas Yerusha Menos L'shachta V'shachta. Schlep one up, do a tircha L'tzor Chachal Nefesh, and eat it, and shecht it, and eat a little bit. You don't have to eat the whole thing. You eat Chacha Kazayis. V'asheini and Nebuch, the other one that you leave down, also La Parnasa B'mkame K'desha L'yomis. You lower down food, and you hope for the best. If it wouldn't be Yosef Esbeno, you can take them both off and shecht them both. And someone will eat a little from this, and somebody will eat a little from this. But you can't shecht them Yosef Esbeno. You have to make up your mind which one do you want. And that's Rabbi Yeshua says that. Rabbi Yeshua is more makel. Rabbi Yeshua, I mean malus, arishain, almanos, l'shachtoi. You bring one up, you do a tircha to slap it up to the top of the bar, you make believe that this is the one that I want to shecht. And then you decide, then you make believe that you change your mind, I want to shecht the other one. Ve'en l'shachtoi. Because of Amarim, he does an act of haram. He makes believe as if he changed his mind. Malus Hashemi, and he takes up the other one. And then he looks at the other one and he says, no, I changed my mind, I want to shecht the first one. Then he has a brayer. Then he has a brayer to shecht either the first one or the second one. But he has to. So Rabbi Yeshua is more clearly more makel than Rabbi Lezer. He permits you to do the tircha twice, even though it's clear that you can't shecht both. But it has to be with a haram. It has to. You have to make it look like an accident. You have to make it look as if you really thought that you wanted to shecht the first one, then you change your mind.
You know beforehand you're not going to do it.
Yeah, but it. To make it look like, make it look a little better. So what did Rabbi Yosef quote? Rabbi Yosef says, you see that there's a machlekes of Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, it's not an issue of Eichel Nefesh, it's an issue of Tircha. That's what we're talking about over here, Tircha. Mishilim Peres Darach Arub is a shayla from Tircha. So he says, you see that there's a machlekes regarding Tircha and Yontif. The Rabbi Lezer is strict, he only permits Tircha Letzarach Eichel Nefesh, the one that you can shecht. So just like malacha is muta for Eichel Nefesh, to shecht it and to cook it and salt it, to do malachas for Eichel Nefesh is muta. So to do tircha, to schlep up this behemah from the bottom of the bar, tircha is muta. But to schlep up the second one, there's no heter. There's no Eichel Nefesh. And Rabbi Yeshua is more makel. Rabbi Yeshua is more reasonable. And he says it's only Yontif, it's not Shabbos. So we're makel a little bit on the tircha. So
that's the shecht one of them.
Yeah, for sure he is. Yeah. But Rav Lezer says he can only shecht the first one that he took up. So that's what Rav Yosef says. It's a machlekes between the first line in the perek and the last line in the second Mishnah. And the machlekes, who's who? It's Rav Lezer Rav Yeshua. Amalei Abayis, Abay Chep is Rav Yosef. He says, I don't see a hechrech that has anything at all to do living or dead with Rav Lezer Rav Yeshua. They have a different machlekes. Mimai, there's zok that there's a tzushtel between the machlekes of Rav Lezer Rav Yeshua and the Mishnah over here. Dilma, perhaps, Akan lo kam Rav Lezer hasmel adev shebe parnosa. The only reason why Rav Lezer is machmed that you're not allowed to schlep up the second day, because you can lower down food and medicine, whatever, and you can make it a little comfortable, and you don't think that the animal is going to die over there. But what happens if you think, if you're pretty sure the animal on the bottom is going to die, maybe Rav Lezer is also makel that you're allowed to schlep it up. So, and you're telling me in our Mishnah that there's a stira. That the first line says you're permitted to be matriach. You're not going to eat these pears that are on top of the roof. He's drying off the pears. Then it starts, the rain is coming. So he does want the pears to get soggy, to get sopping wet. So he's matriach to lower the pears on Yontif. And then you tell me that the last line in the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to lower the pears on Yontif. So whose shita is that? He thinks, Abai thinks that Rav Lezer would also permit you to lower the pears over here. Rav Lezer is only machmer over there. The Efshe b'parnosa, he has a better eitzah. Lower food to the bottom of the pit and give the food and the medicine to the behemah. But in our case, he sees the rain clouds are coming and it's going to ruin the peris. So Vayavshu b'parnasa, there's no way to save the Paris on the roof without lowering them. Loi, maybe Rav Lezer will not disagree with Rabbi Shua, maybe he'll be masking that it's muta. Where do you see that there's a machloikas Rav Lezer Rabbi Shua regarding this issue? Inami, or maybe Mekenzong Faket. Al-Kandakam Rabbi Shua Hassam. Who says Rabbi Shua would be Mekel in our Mishnah? Rabbi Shua is only Mekel over there because it makes it look like he does a haram, it makes it look like an accident. He says he makes believe he's going to shech the first one. He says, you got to be matriach, help me, I have to schlep it up. Then he makes believe he changes his mind, and then he's going to schlep up one to shech it, that's mutter. He's allowed to do a malacha, he's allowed to do tircha. Then he makes believe they change his mind, going to shech the second one. So at least over there, Rabbi Yeshua is makel. Why? Because chach is a haram. He can make believe as if there's an eichel nefesh involved. But in that case, there's clearly no eichel nefesh. It's clear he's not going to eat the peiris today. Let's say it's milchik peiris. I don't know if they put in dairy. Milchik peiris, and he's fleshy. He's not going to eat the peiris today. He's just doing it. Tons of peiris. Just doing it in order to save the peiris from getting ruined by the rain. So Abayi says, where do you see? It has nothing to do with Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Abayi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yisus. So he says, he chepes, he doesn't see. Inami, maybe faker, I can't come Rabbi Yeshua Hassan. Maybe he's only making a depth of Rumi. Because it's possible to do an act of haram. Well, here, there's no haram over here. It's klar that he doesn't plan to eat any of the peiris today. It's klar he can't eat all the peiris today. He has a ton of the leif shel arumi loy. Maybe even Rabbi Shua would say it's also. He doesn't see. Abai doesn't see that the machlekes of Lezer Rabbi Shua has any shaykes with our Mishnah. Elam Rapapis. Rapapis says no. Rabbi Yosef is right that it's a machlekes hatanoim, but he just picked on the wrong tanoim instead of. Saying it's Rav Lezer Rabbi Yeshua, it's better to say that it's Bishamay Bisilo. Dos Veisman Doch and Daf Yud Beisamad Aleph, that it's a Machlegis Bishamay Bisilo. On Yontif, you're allowed to carry, if you want to carry the food to the Sukkot. That's Tzarech Ochel Nefesh. You want to have a picnic in the park. So you carry the food to eat it in the park, that's Tzarech Ochel Nefesh, literally. What if he wants to carry the baby to go for a stroll? Or he wants to carry a sefer to learn in the park? Or he wants to carry the lulav to shul or a machzor, a talis or something? But that's not Eichel Nefesh. So that's Machlekes B'Sham and B'Silo, whether Eichel Nefesh is to be taken literally, it's restricted only to Eichel Nefesh, or any Tzarech HaYom Ktzas is good. So if you hold Tzarech HaYom Ktzas, all Tzarech Rochim, Arul Samuter, so Mishilim Peres Darech Harud is also a Tzarech. He does all the Shtikal Tircheh in order to save the Peres from getting ruined. But if you hold strict interpretation like B'Sham, only Eichel Nefesh means you're going to eat it today. He's not going to eat it today. So there's no Eichel Nefesh. That's what Rav Papa says. Elam Rav Papa, what Rav Yisus said is correct. It's a machlokes, the two Mishnahs, but it's not Rav Lezer Rav Yeshua. Like Kasha Rav Shama Rav Yisil. This is not. The Mishnah Daf Yud Beis. Rav Shama Yamim, you're not permitted to carry the baby. Eimotzim, loyas hakot, loyas halulov. To carry the lulov to shul, you're not allowed to. Loyas hasef, the third lushes, I'm not allowed to. But Yisil Matir and Yisil say that not only is it mutter, but Tzarech Eichel Nefesh, it's mutter to do a malachi. Even shalom letzarech achol nefesh also. Frag the Gemara on Rav Papa, they still don't see any tzushtel. The machlekes b'shama and b'silo is regarding doing a malacha deraisa, to carry in the rishus harabim deraisa. We're not talking about a deraisa. Someone is matayu to do a malacha deraisa to save the peris. We're talking about a tirche. Talking about a tirche, and it's a tirche, not for the purpose of yontif, but to save my peiris on yontif, so I'll eat it, I'll be able to sell it during the course of the year. I'll be able to eat it during the course of the year. So it's an issue of a tirche. So the Gemara asked Akasha, Vilma Lohi, maybe you're not correct, maybe Rav Papa's tzushtel is wrong, maybe Akanakami Bishamai, maybe Bishamai only forbids carrying the tinnik and the lulam and the sefer Torah lahoitzoi, you're doing a malacha. Avol atiltol just to do a tirche. Maybe even Beishamai should say that it's mutter. Where do you see from the Beishamai that they would argue with the Beis Hillel regarding saving the peris? You're identifying the last line in the second Mishnah. Ein beyontiv l'Shabbos. That line disagrees with the first line in the first Mishnah, and you're sticking Beishamai with that second. Where did Beishamai say that?
Then why do you need the Ramos to take up the second the vlad?
No, the Ram. The Harama.
Why do you need Harama? If it's Mutter, it's not just Leichel Nefesh. If it's Mutter, then it's Tzarech. You have a Tzarech.
Not to have a Hepsid.
should be mutter even without ramos.
Whenever you can do a harama, no, it's not nice to call it ramos.
I mean,
you call it harama. Ramos means mamish fake harama. Harama means you make it look okay. In modern Hebrew, they call a rebbe in yeshiva is called a ram, a resh mesifta. So they once asked the guy, "What do you do for a living?" He says, "Ani osek berama ut." He's a ram in yeshiva. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe he is. No. Harama. It's called harama. It makes it look. It softens it. At least it softens it a little bit. Softens it. It's not as bad.
Okay.
It makes it look as if he's really going to use it today. Yeah. So that's a the Gemara chapters Rav Papa. Frag the Gemara Dilma Lohi. Maybe you're not right. Maybe Beshama you're only in disagreement with Beisilo because you're doing a malach of Haitzah. But Avalatilto, just to do Tirche, maybe even the Beshama would be Mekel. So the Gemara says no. Rav Papa's answer is the correct answer because Otu Tilto Lab Tzarech Haitzahu. Why do you think they prohibited Tilto Mukze in general? Why do you think they prohibited Tirche? The whole prohibition of Tilta Muktzah we learned on Daf Yudbeis, Omer Aleph and Shabbos, and the whole prohibition of Tircha over here is all Gzeira Shema Yotzi. So if the Beis Hillel are Mekel on the Hoitzah, so then there would be Mekel on the Tircha and on the Tilta Muktzah. And if Beis Shammai is Machmer on the Hoitzah, Hasvara no sense is that there would be more Machmer on the Tircha and on the Tilta Muktzah. So that's Blight in the Gemara. Very strange interpretation. That the first line in the first Mishnah is a machlekes with the last line in the second Mishnah, and no names, and it's the old machlekes b'shama b'sil. That's how the Gemara interprets.
Why doesn't the temple fall into
There's no echal nefesh at all. Echal nefesh has to boil down. Yeah, that's Eichel Nefesh Mamish, to schlep up a behemoth al das to eat it. The Tirch is Eichel Nefesh Mamish. Eichel Nefesh is, that's not. Yeah, that's Mamish. To schlep the behemoth up in order to eat it today, that's Mamish Eichel Nefesh. If Eichel Nefesh is Mata Shchitus, Eichel Nefesh is Mata Tirche. But to schlep up the second one, which you can shech today, so that's just to save it from Hefzit. So there is no Echal Nefesh. Here, he's going to save all the pears, not going to eat any of the pears today.
Isn't there a locha that anything that you can do before Yom Tov, you never
have to do? You fell into.
Yeah, yeah. With the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to do a locha on Yom Tov. If you couldn't have done it there, it would have tasted just as good. Chumra with the Rabbanon, yeah. That's how we pass on the Shulchan. Okay. Here, towards the end of the Mesichta, the Mishnah, the Mishnayis, the Tiliyan. The Mishnayos are going to give us the dinim of tchum, of tchumen. So we discussed already. The Gemara has a machlek zobekiva and a hachamim, whether tchumen is the rice or tchumen is lab the rice. It's a Mishnah in Soito. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that tchumen alpay mama, that's 1 mil. Alpay mama is 1 mil. That means 1 mil is the distance that you can walk if an average person is walking, let's say, 18 minutes. The Mishnah Berurah always quotes that 18 minutes is a sheer mil. Others disagree. They say Leo Levy has a whole book. He says it's a mistake. He says it's 22 and a half minutes. He says that the Pesach that the Mishnah Berurah quoted, that it's 18 minutes, had a different system of counting time. He didn't have 60 minutes to an hour. He had less than 60 minutes to an hour. So every minute was longer. So when he says 18 minutes, the way we have a clock, it's really 22 and a half minutes. He shows from the Gemara, whatever it is. We always say 18 minute matzahs, that's all on the assumption that that's a sheer mil. Because the Gemara says if you have flour with water and it sits for less than a mil, it's for sure that it's not chametz. If it sits for more than a mil, then there's what to discuss.
She says by matzah it's also 22 and a half minutes.
That's for
yeah, point. Yeah. So we always insist that 18 minute matzahs, that's like the Mishnah Berurah, that 18 minutes is a sheer mil. So Rabbi Akiva says that if you go, first you figure out where your tchum is. First you figure out where the city limits are. That's Mishnayis and Erevin. How do you draw the city limits? So you try, every city you try to make approximately a rectangle. A rectangle. If the city is like an amoeba, if the city is like Manhattan, it's Kimata rectangle. So just fill in the rectangle and that's it. That's the city limits. If the city is like an amoeba, it doesn't look like a rectangle at all. So then you draw northeast, southwest. You draw it according to the figure Ruchas Shalaylam. So once you determine where the city limits are, so then you're permitted to go up until 18 minutes walking outside. 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, that's the Tchum Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva Shita in the Mishnah in Saito is that that's a din deraisa. Chum Shab is a din deraisa, 1 mil, alpai mama, and he learns it out from a pasuk by the Ori Halavim. It says you have to give the Memches Ori Halavim, the 48 cities he gives. The Levim didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Only the other Shvatim got, and the Levim got the peanuts. So they got each one of the Shvatim had to give him a bunch of Ori Halavim and added up to Memches Ori Halavim. So it says those Ori Halavim, they get Elef Amo Michutz Le'er and another Elef Amo Michutz Le'elef Amo. So Rabbi Kiva has a psadrosha that Elef Amo, that's the Tchum Shamas. The Adrosha derais. And the Chachamim disagree, and the Gemara says we don't pass like Rabbi Kiva, that's only a din derabbanan. The Shaila is whether Yud Beis Mil is derais. So that we mentioned, I think we mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago. I think we mentioned it. That the Rambam in the Rif, at the end of the first Perek in Erev, in the Rif quotes a Yerushalmi. That even though Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, the famous Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, Alpai Mama, 18 minutes, but if it would be, if he's going to walk Yud Beis Mil, if he walks 12 times 18 minutes, that's 4 hours. If he walks 4 hours worth at the same pace, that'll be an Issa deraisa afila aliba de Chachamim. Not only according to Rabbi Kiva, even the Chachamim will agree. Now, they all agree that Tchumen is deraisa, they just argue what's the degree. Rabbi Kiva says 1 mil, and the Chachamim say 12 mil. 12 mil. So the Rishalmi is quoted by the Rif and the Rambam makes it as a one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, not to go chutz l'tchum. Al yetzi ish min koma b'yom hashvi. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. And the Mechaber paskens like that. The tchum in Yud Beis Mil is the rice. And the Ramo says that the Balei HaTosfos don't hold like that, because the Babli never says a word about such a thing. It doesn't mention at all. A difference between 1 mil and Yud Beis Mil doesn't exist in the Babli. It's only a Yerushalmi, and we have the cloud that whenever there's a conflict between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, we follow the Babli. The Babli was written later, and we assume that those who wrote the Talmud Babli were familiar with everything that it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and if they didn't, if they disagree, or they don't say a word about this issue, so they assume Hilchasik Abasra, we pass like the later Chacham. So that's the Machlegs, the Mechaber and the Rambam. Mechaber follows the Rif and the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Kari writes he's going to always follow the Rov HaPoskim. So he makes up his mind there are three Poskim that he's going to consider, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh. So he rigged it, the Rif and the Rambam. Won't we say the same thing? So he always passing like the Rif and the Rambam. So the Rif and the Rambam say Yud Beis Mil is their Isa, and the Rosh. The Rosh is not one region. The Rosh represents all of Balei HaTosfos. The Rosh represents all of Balei HaTosfos. That there's a Tshuvas HaRosh. But the Rosh writes in the Tshuva that the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam are G'dolim B'chochma V'minyan, greater than the Rambam.
Wow.
So that's what the Ashkenazim hold. So that's why we always follow the Bali, usually follow the Bali
Atesis. Yeah, the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam?
That's what he writes. The Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam. It means in all the Bali Atesis. All the Bali Atesis, everybody all together, were greater B'chochma V'minyan than the Rambam. So that's why the Ramo always follows. The Rosh and the Balei HaTosfos, yeah.
So, but the Babli not mentioning anything like you would say after the Rishalmi?
Yeah, the Pashtun says disagreeing with you. Yeah, because the Babli always says, we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva has Tchum in the Reis, and nobody holds like Rabbi Akiva. Zomu Zogun, that there's another Tchum in that everybody holds from. No, never, whenever the topic comes up, it sounds like the Chachamim don't hold from any Tchum in at all. No such thing as Tchum. All the Gemara is like that. He could have answered a lot of kashas if they would have said that the Chachamim also asked him that there's a din of Tchumen. They never say that. So the Pashtos of the Babli is against the Yerushalmi. So the Rif and the Rambam follow the Yerushalmi. And the Rambam counts it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, not to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos. He says, he holds the Issa Tchumen on Yontif is only the Rabbanon, according to the Rambam. No one holds that it's their Issa on Yontif. The Rambam even holds the Issa Tchumen on Yom Kippur is only the Rabbanon, only on Shabbos. Al Yetz Ish Mekama Yom HaShvi is only on Shabbos. And then they have the correspondence between Rab Daniel Ababli. He was a dayan in Baghdad, and he used to correspond with the Rambam's son, Rabbeinu Avraham Ben Arambam. So he corresponded with him on the Minyan HaMitzvahs, mainly on the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. So this is one of the issues that he chepped the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say that Tchumen is only the rice on Shabbos? I understand Yontif, he does want to equate Yontif with Shabbos, but Yom Kippur is Nachmamish, the same as Shabbos. So why doesn't the Rambam write that the Issa Tchumen is deraisa on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur? And Rabbeinu Avraham Ben Aram says, no, it's only deraisa. My father holds only deraisa on Shabbos, and even Yom Kippur, the Tchumen is only derabbanan. They have a collection of all the correspondence between Rabbeinu Avraham Ben Arambam and Rav Daniel HaBavli. He was a dayan in Baghdad. It's called Maisa Nisim. sefer is called Ma'aseh Nisim. The Rabban, he used to quote from that sefer, he used to always make the same comment. But came on the Shenzhen, came Nisim in the floor, and that's it. He doesn't know why they called it Ma'aseh Nisim. It's a straight halacha. But on the first page, they tell you why. First page, he says it was printed in Paris in the 1800s, and it was paid for by Mr. Nisim. He paid the money, he said. He called it Ma'aseh Nisim. This book was put out by Mr. Nisim. That's what it says on the Sharblad. The Rav never read the Sharblad. But it says that's the reason why. So this is a machlokes. Whether Tchumen is deraisa or not is a big machlokes. And even if you know that Tchumen is deraisa, the Rambam Shita is only deraisa on Shabbos, not on Yontif, not even on Yom Kippur. And Tosis, Bekama Mekoma, says not so. If you know Tchumen is deraisa, it's deraisa on Yontif as well. And then there's a machlokes al gabi machlokes. Even if you should assume that Tchumen is deraisa, means a person is not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. Here's an underdin. You're not allowed to take my property chutz l'tchum. Let's say I have one tchum. I made an erev tchumen, and my area where I'm allowed to go is over here. And you have an erev tchumen, you're allowed to go a different area. And there's a little overlap. There's an area where I can go and you can go, we can both go. Let's say it's yontif, you're allowed to carry. You come to my home, you want to borrow a gemara in the middle of yontif. I give you a gemara. So are you allowed to carry that gemara? It's my gemara. You're allowed to carry the gemara chutz l'tchum sheli, toch ha'tchum shalos. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. The same tchum that the person has, all of his property has the same tchum.
I would not mitzvah on Shvisas Kalim.
Shvisas Kalim is a different thing. If a malacha will be occurring with the kli. But this is what the Mishnah says, you're not permitted to take the kalim or the behemah, any property of the owner, chutz l'tchum of the owner.
But that's the problem, is that you're doing a malacha with the kli.
No, then Tchumen Bechlal is not a malacha.
That's not a malacha.
It's in Gansen a fluky thing. It's in Gansen a different. Al Yetzishmim comes a new din. So that's a further machlok. Is this the Mishnah Brura quotes? The Mishnah Brura and the Bir Alocha quotes. Afilim Timtzi Loimer, like the Mechaber Paskins, that Tchumen Yud Beis Mil is a din deraisa, that only goes on the person going Kutzel Tchum. What about on the Kalim? That's also deraisa. So he quotes it's a machlok is Achreinim. And then he quotes, and then he found it's a machlekes harishonim. First he starts off the maritats with someone else. He quotes the shari tshuva machlekes achrenim. And then he found, no, it's big stuff. It's a Ramban and another Rishon machlekes harishonim. Whether the topic being discussed is a topic deraisa, a topic derabban, whatever it is, it's a din. The din of tchumen applies on the person.
What about din Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Etzel? So everything
is equal, but the Shabbos is it there? Because it's not even a malacha. Tchumen,
no,
even
if... talking about malacha. Ein, there is nothing different between Shabbos and Yom
Kippur. But it basically goes on malacha, because it says in Chumash not to do kom malacha lo'isasu on Shabbos, kom malacha sabayda lo'isasu on Yom Kippur. So there's an equation with respect to malacha on the level of deraisa. You have a heterech nefesh. And then you have malacha de rabbanon is also, and exera de rabbanon shalo yase malacha also. So you have an equation, Shabbos and Yom Kippur, yet to malacha deraisa, malacha de rabbanon exeris. But this is none of the above. Tchumen is in Gamsen a different story. It's not a malacha deraisa, it's not a malacha rabban, it's not exeret that's going to lead to a malacha. It's a different issue. No. That's a different machlek. Are you allowed to have a malacha? Yeah, but malacha taking place on my kli. I leave a leichter and a candle is burning. So according to Beis Shammai, you have a problem. A candle is burning on your leichter. So the answer is that you mafki your leichter. That's what the Gemara says. You leave a pot on the fire and the food is cooking in the pot. The food is cooking in your pot. Your pot is involved in a malacha of cooking. So Beis Hillel says, so your pot is involved. So what's the problem? Beis Shammai is worried about that. So Beis Shammai says, the answer is you mafki the pot. In order to avoid the Easter, you mafke the pot, you mafke the leichter. And everybody, the guy doesn't know. No, everybody knows you have to be mafke the pot, the mafke the leichter.
I'm sorry, do you have to be mafke the pot? There's no halacha on Shvisas Kalim.
Beis Shammai. We paskin, like you say, there's no din of Shvisas Kalim. Okay. But Beis Shammai hold, there is a din of Shvisas Kalim.
What would be mafke something that's in your house?
Why not?
Your house,
Midirabbanan, there's a requirement.
So that's why the legislation says that still hold up a person, but not like anybody else, you never find three people. If you're not, you end up in the dark.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about if something is within your Dalai
Lama. My house, yes.
Yours.
It can be
mine. Unless I'm after it. If I'm after it, it's not mine.
But does it take possession of the fact that it's in your
you
house?
Take it out
no,
of
I declare I don't want to be kind of chotzer. There's a kinyan chotzer. Chotzer is kind of shaloi midaito if I don't know about it. But if I know it's there and I haven't zin, not to be kind of, the Taisis points out chotzer is not kind of bal korcha. Chotzer is kind of shaloi midaito if I don't know. But if I know it's there and I have in mind I don't want to be kind of, then it's not kind of.
That's
a beferish adin. That's a Taisis in Bava Basra.
So how does it help to send a gift to a woman that is named within her Dalai Lama to be accepted?
First of all, it's about
karma. No. A get, if it's you're not allowed to give a get bal karcha, but if you give a get bal karcha, it's chal. The gerishin is chal. If you put the get in her chotzer, bal karcha is also chal. So the Mishnah is recording a din of trumin on the property of the person. Didn't we say last week? What if it's dvarim shal hefker? That's a machlokes satan. When a nich say hefker, a kain shvisa. Does the din only say abema v'hakeilim kiragle habaylim? If it belongs to somebody, so whatever the trum of the bala kli is, that will be the trum of the kli. What about the rain and the clouds and the water? It doesn't belong to anybody until someone is echman a hefker. Is that also kain shvisa? Wherever it is, kain shvisa, you say no. So that's a machlekes satanayim in Erevin. With a nich say hefker, a kain shvisa. The pashtus is not. Only
so you have to give the gemara to this guy and be mafkir.
No.
When you give it to him to carry to outside.
No, that's
the
not going
to
help. No. If it belonged to me at the beginning of Yontav, it has my tchum, and it can't switch in the middle. It's not going to help if I'll be mafkir. That's what the Mishnah is going to say. Hamoisa behemta lebenoa leroy. I give my behemoth to my child or to a shepherd in the middle of Yontav. He cannot take it to where his tchum is. He's restricted. He can only take it to the area where I'm allowed to go because I gave it to him in the middle of Yontif. What if you have Kelim HaMichodim, the father passed away and the children didn't divide the Yerusha and they use all the things. So there's one hat, let's say the oldest child is Bar Mitzvah and he uses the hat. And the others are young children, they don't use the hat. And each one has a different tchum. He's gone to that community, so he made an erev in that direction. He made an erev in that direction. Each one made a different erev. So let's say all of the property in the family home, all the furniture, belongs to the estate. They're all shutvim, belongs to everybody. So everyone has a different tchum. So you can only carry it on Yontif. You're allowed to carry the thing. So you're only allowed to carry it in the area that overlaps, where all the tchumen overlap. You're not allowed to take it to an area where only one child has the tchum, and the other is not allowed to take it outside. But what if there's, let's say, a piece of a sefer, the only one who uses that sefer is the oldest child, Yeriday, whatever. The others don't know what a Yeriday is, or a hat, the Shabbos, the cat, whatever. There's only one who uses it, so it doesn't belong to him. When they come to divide it, they'll divide everything, even Stephen. Zeh keneged zeh. But right now, it's known that that hat is miyuchad for him. So that's what it says. Kelim ha-michadam le'echad minachim shababai is, if the father died, and the estate belongs to all the yorshim together, and there's some kelim, a gemara, a pot, a hat, whatever, that only one of them uses, harielu kiraglov, even though it doesn't belong to him, but it's as if it had been lent out to him before Yontav. We all know that he's the only one who's going to use it. So that has his tchum. But what if it's ein miyuchadim? What if it's not miyuchad to any one brother? They all use it together. Sometimes I use it, sometimes he uses it. Ariel, look, Makam Shaholchim, he can only take it to that area where all the brothers have a right to go. He can't take it chutz l'tchum of any of them, only the kamatchum. Hashoel kli mechaveira me'erev yonte. So you can only carry the item in the area where they overlap. That's the Mishnah. It's going to give a lot of mishalim to repeat that din. I borrowed something on Erev Yontif and he gave me permission to use it all of Yontif. It doesn't belong to me, but he lent it to me for use. So it's Kiragli Hashoyo. So it has my tchum. It has the tchum of the one who borrowed it, because it's kind of, everything is kind of Shvisa at the beginning of Yontif, beginning of Shabbos, whatever. At the Beit HaShemesh is of Tchidosayim. Tchidosayim is by me. What if Hashoyo be Yontif? What if I borrowed the kli in the middle of Yontif? Teknish, it's Kiragli Hamashil. Because when it was kind of shvisa on Erev Yontav, it still belonged to the Mashin. He didn't have a mind to lend it to me. I didn't even approach him to ask for it until the middle of Yontav. It's kind of shvisa by him. V'chein ha'isha, Balabasta makes a cake, and she doesn't have all the ingredients. So she goes to one neighbor and she gets vanilla from her. She gets the flour from the other one. She gets water from another one. and salt from another one and sugar from another one. She gets all the different ingredients from five different people, and each one of the five women has a different chum, because they're going to a bar mitzvah there, they're going to a shever brachas there, they're going to a chazan there, they're going to a drasha there. Each one has a different chum on yontif. So this cake can only be carried in the common chum, in the area that overlaps, all the chum and overlap.
She's never going to give it bet pa'am.
Huh? Right, but in the beginning of Yontif, she made the cake in the middle of Yontif. She asked for all the ingredients in the middle of Yontif.
Yes.
So the beginning of Yontif, the vanilla was kind of shvisa by this one, and the flour was kind of shvisa by that one, and the sugar by this one. Yeah. In the middle of Yontif, she gets a matana from all of them. Let's say, not even a she'ela. She requests from them, and they give her a matana that she's not going to pay back.
Still.
But it was kind of shvisa, the tchum was already nikva at the beginning of Yontif. Each one has a different tchum. So the Mishnah says, "Chenish shishola michabato." She borrowed or she took a matana, tavlin from one, spices, mayim from a different one, mela from a different one, lisasa, harelu kiraglishteh. You can only carry, you can only move it around within the tchum that shared in common by all.
What would be the happening if this wasn't mentioned? What's the purpose of this? What would we think otherwise?
The Gemara is going to discuss what the havamina is. That's going to be a tongue twister of a sugya. That's a famous, complicated sugya later on. Why don't you say bittul beroiv, the Gemara asks. Why don't you say bittul beroiv?
How's bittul beroiv coming?
How much vanilla flavoring do you have already?
Yeah, don't.
How much vanilla flavoring do you have? There's a din of tam ki ikir. Let's say the vanilla flavoring would be treif. And you pour in a few drops of vanilla and a whole cake and it's nice and tam. If it would be trafe, then there's a din of tam kikir, it's not bottled, but it's not tam.
We're not talking about kashrus here. What does bittul beroiv have to do with anything?
No, bittul beroiv is a din on everything, bittul beroiv. If you have something that's tame, something that's tahor, you can apply bittul beroiv. You say bittul beroiv, it says, veloka hakoy midama par midama soyer. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to take the soyer hapanimi, the soyer lashem, and the par koyim, the par of the Kohen Gadol. And he has to be mazed the domim separately in the Kodesh HaKadosh and then in front of the Paroiches in the Heichal. Then before he's mazed on the Mizbech HaPnim, he has to mix the dam together.
And that's even
the
Chachil, not just
Tanoim, yeah, that's how he's supposed to do.
I thought we passed in the bottle below was only to the Yevid. I thought, Eim Bavat Menissel LeChachil.
No. So the Tanoim are bothered with the Kashe. Once he's going to mix the dam HaPar and the dam HaSor together, it's impossible that it's 50-50. Usually the Dam HaPor is going to be more than the Dam HaSor. Once in a while could be the Dam HaSor will be more than Dam HaPor, but it's never going to be 50-50. One chance in 5 million that it's going to be 50-50. So whichever one is more than 50% should be Mevatl, the one that's less than 50%. So then when he does the four Zrikas on the Mizbech HaPnimi, how is he Yotze the Din? Should already be in his battle. Because the din of bittul beroiv applies in kol ha-tarkula to anything and everything, whenever you have a mixture.
What does it have to do with roiv? Here's a tchum.
Because your Torah
is... Yudah learns out from there that mim b'mino is not bottle. Yeah. And the chachamim disagree.
But what does it have to do with tchum?
So the Gemara asked the Kasha, why do you say that this cake, you can only carry in the tchum where there's an overlap, everybody's tchum, the flour is the major ingredient. Flour is the first ingredient on the list because it's more than 50%.
Volume-wise.
Huh?
Volume-wise.
Yeah, volume more than, way more than 50%. So why not forget about the sugar and the vanilla and everything else and all the flavoring? Say everything else is bottle brave, and the only tchum that you have to worry about is the bilum of the flour, because you can't say over here Tavki Iker. It's not macholos asur. They didn't intend. They weren't intending to be mevatel and nisa. She wants to make a cake. She doesn't know anything about tchumim. She never heard of this thing. Her husband starts screaming about tchumim. She didn't have in mind. She wanted to make a cake, and then the husband says, "What did you do? You can't take the cake. You want to take the cake to the children. You can't take it. It's chutz l'tchum."
But isn't that what we're doing? We're being mevatel yisur tchumim.
No, ein mevat nisa lechatchini means I'm not allowed to mix it in.
To make it bottle.
She never heard of the din of tchumim. She didn't get so far. In her yeshiva, they only got to daf yud, to daf hey. She never got to daf lamed tes. She never heard there's a din of tchumim. So the husband starts screaming, "What are you doing? It has everybody's tchumim." So the Gemara has a discussion on that. Why don't you say bittul beroiv? That's a famous discussion. It's a tongue twister. That's a lamed ches on the base. That's a strange gemara. We'll get to that. So that's the gist of the Mishnah. That's the gist of the Mishnah. So the gemara fekta kasha. The Gemara first says the Mishnah must listen to like Rav Daisa. The Mishnah seems to contradict the opinion of Rav Daisa. One of the Tanya we have a Bryce, Rav Daisa Emer, and others say it in the name of Abishol. Either it's Rav Daisa or Abishol, one Tanya. Halakech be'emem mechaver me'erev yontif, if I already made an agreement with you that I'm going to borrow your behemah or I'm going to purchase your behemah, we never made a kinyan on erev yontif. I only come to pick it up in the middle of yontif. Nonetheless, since the agreement was made on erev yontif, and we all know in advance that this behemah is going to go to me, afal pishalay misarla elabiyon, even though I'd only come to collect it in the middle of yontif, harei kiragli halakeyah, it has the tchumen of the one who purchases it. Same thing if you give your behemoth to a shepherd. I didn't give him the behemoth on Erev Yontif. We just made up in the middle of Yontif. I want you to come and take care of the behemoth. The shepherd didn't pick it up on Erev Yontif. Nonetheless, so the Mishnah sounds like it's not so. The Mishnah says strict, like it's etched in stone. If you got it Erev Yontif, it has your trum. If you get it in the middle of Yontif, it has the trum of the first one. But the Mishnah is against Rav Daisa. And we want to pass like Rav Daisa. The Gemara is going to say later halachic Rav Daisa. Gemara says not necessarily. I feel the tamer Rav Daisa will lay kash kam bereich and kam shtei raim. It depends. If there's only one shepherd in town, and we know that on Yom Tov he's going to give him the sheep. We know if you know in advance, then it has the tchum of the shepherd. And the Mishnah goes, you didn't. It wasn't agreed in advance. It was still not clear on erev Yom Tov shay. And that's how we pass halachic. And based on that, the Gemara is going to continue about the topic of Breira. We'll have to explain that.
In other words, if I wanted to borrow a safe, I'd have to come to Yontif and I'll carry the
safe. I didn't pick it up till the middle of Yontif, but since it was known in advance that I'm going to pick it up, it has my trum, does not his trum, it has my trum.
Do I have a kinyan on a rule? In other words, when you say that, I didn't make a kinyan, right?
On Erev Yontif, he didn't
make a kinyan, right?
Did not make any kinyan.
So the kinyan is being done on Yontif.
On Yontif.
So you have a Mecha Chamemkis here.
Okay. So it's a question of Mecha Chamemkis.
It's not really a kinyan. It's not really a kinyan because the owner of the behemoth cannot sell it to anybody else anymore. He doesn't own it either. It's just a merely mechanical kinyan. It's not a total kinyan. Because he sold it already.
He didn't make the kinyan yet. No, the kinyan is made in the middle of Yom Tov. No, it is a question. It is a question. Okay.
So the price is talking about Mesira. The first case, it says...
First case goes on selling the behemoth. First case goes on, I'm going to sell the behemoth in the middle of Yom Tov.
Mesira doesn't count. In the second case, we are just giving it
to give it to a shepherd.
It does count.
No, both cases the same thing. Yeah. The same thing. Yeah. Even though the Mesira occurs on Yom Tov, in the first case, the Mesira is to acquire ownership. In the second case, the Mesira, he should be the shepherd. But since it was made up in advance before Yontif, that I'm going to sell it to him, or I'm going to give it to him that he should take care of the behemoth, so it has his tchum, it does not my tchum, it has his tchum. We're going to do it again next week, because it's relevant for the hemshech of the whole sugya. It's very important for the brayer. Sometimes they have in different directions. Each one has a different tchum. You can have two people live next to each other. One has an erev tchum in one direction. One has an erev tchum in a different direction. No. Beyond 2000, you can go.
Unless I put
an erev tchum in, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise,
that's too different.
Correct? Everybody can only walk within his own tchum, and you can only, on Yom Tov, when you're allowed to carry, you can only carry people's property within the owner's tchum. And if the owner is in Eretz Yisrael, and I have the key to his house, and he says, if you need anything, take it, so I can't take anything from his house, because it's chutz l'tchum. The owner is in Eretz Yisrael, and all of his property is already chutz l'tchum, so I can't move it unless there's an eruv in the community. If there's an eruv in the community, so then it's like moving it within the house. The whole community is one big Dalet Amos, and I'm not moving it anywhere. But if there's no Erev, so within the house, he may move it around. Even though the owner is Chutz L'Tchum in Eretz Yisrael, but to take it out of the house into the street, if there's no Erev, then you're handling the thing Chutz L'Tchum. So you're not allowed to.
But it's his tchum.
No. If he says before Yontif, if you need, if you single something out specifically, So then it has the tchum of the one who's going to use it. But if I'm, yeah, but let's say I'm going to Eretz Yisrael and I give you the keys, you're the next door neighbor, you're my brother, my son, whatever. I say, if you ever need anything, feel free to take. And we never designated what, when, where. And then, punk, you decide. On Yom Tov, you want to take a machzer, you want to take a gemara. But it was never agreed upon in advance. So that's chutz l'tchum. That gemara is chutz l'tchum of the owner. He's chutz l'medina. So everything that he has chutz l'tchum. Unless it's toch ha'erev, so then there's no prohibition. Whenever you have a very great original thinker who comes up with big chidushin, so you have to have in the next generation someone who's prepared to be mevatel himself just to transmit the big chidushim of the big genius in the earlier generation. Because if in each generation everyone's going to want to be mechadish new things, so all the things that were already worked out by the first one will go down the drain. The next one wants to be mechadish, and the next one wants to be mechadish. Everybody wants to be original. And it's not so easy that a person should be mevatel himself just to maintain everything from the original person. Because everybody has a desire to be a person is intelligent. Everybody has a desire to be original. So it's really a big chiddush. And today's Sedrin told us, you read about Yitzchak Avinu, Avram Avinu, Rebbe Shalom told him, I want you to be a pioneer, I want you to go discover Yiddishkeit, you figure it out on yourself. I'm not going to hold your hand. It says, by Noach, Rebbe Shalom held his hand. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't even ask of us, he's going to hold our hand. He says, Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilecho, follow me. But he told Avram Avinu, Hisalech Lefonai, I want you to be a trailblazer, you be a pioneer, you figure out. Avram Avinu was a genius. He had Kloyos Yeretzes, and he figured out, Kol HaTarukula Adshalei Nitna, figured everything out. So he had to have a son, Yitzchak, who's prepared not to be such a big Bal Mechadish. He's prepared to maintain the traditions from his father. So the Pasuk says he dug the same boris as the father, gave the same names as the father, everything exactly the same as the father. And in the Sefer Aksava Kabbalah, he quotes from the Zohar, and Rav Soloveitchik has a whole drosha about this, that was the Iker Midah of Yitzchak Avinu, that he followed Masera. So when he was holding by Shidduch, so he needed, when he was going to marry Rivka, so he needed a girl who was also prepared to do the same Avodah, to follow in the Masera of Avram and Sarah, not to be interested in too much original activity to follow, but if he just follow everything exactly the same, then it's going to be stale. Then tegdachnish. So you have to follow in the Masera, but you have to add a little originality also, like the Gemara in Sukkah in the end of the second parak tells about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, that he had a policy, he never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. So the Achrayim ask a kasha, Davni Nezer talks about this, and others ask that there is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer Agadol was a Talmid Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai. So on one occasion, Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai, and the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chamisha Talmidim Hoya Lo Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai. And it says, Hu Hoya Moida Shvachem. So Rabbi Eliezer was a Bor Sud Sheinim Abitipa, Bucky. He was the big Bucky. And then it says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach, he was the Mayan Hamas Gabi, he was the original thinker. So it says, Rabbi Eliezer was not the Mayan Hamas Gabi, he was the Bucky. And then the next Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has a Machlokes Hatanoim, which is greater, which is more important, the Bucky or the Chorif. The Gemara has such a Machlokes in the end of Horius, where the Sinai Odif, or Kaharim Odif. The Sinai means the Bucky, and the Kaharim means the Chorif. So that's a Machlokes. The Veltrek Takasha, how could it be a Machlokes, where the Sinai Odif? A kaharim adif, the kaharim can rip out Sinai. So oi Sinai. So the Velt says that he doesn't know where to find Sinai. Atishkemikis, he doesn't. He's going to rip out all the mountains. He doesn't know which one is Sinai. But anyway, the Gemara has such a machlekes. The Gemara has a machlekes amoraim, and the Mefarshim say that sounds like it's the machlekes atanaim. One Tana says, if I put all the Chachmi Yisrael b'kaf maznai machas, and I put Rab Loza ben Aruch in the other one, Loza ben Aruch, he was the Chorif. So the Charifis is more important. And the other Tana says, no, if I put everybody in one Kaf Maznaim and throw Rab Lazar ben Aruch there, to put Rab Lazar ben Hurkanes in the other one, the Iker is the Bekiyas. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says Rab Lazar ben Hurkanes was known for his Bekiyas. And Shalayama Dov Shalayshamim Pi Rabba, his forte was Bekiyas. And nonetheless, the Pirkei de Rab Lazar tells the story that on one occasion, Rab Yechem ben Zakkai asked Rab Lazar ben Hurkanes, he should say a shtickle Torah. He said, Rebbe, all I'm going to say, I'm like a bor sud. All I'm going to say is a bor that I heard from you. So Rabbi Yechaman Zaka gave him a bracha. You should be like a mayan hamizgaba. You should say what you didn't hear from me also. So then, as time went on, so it says he started to say chidushim, the obis dram nos nadzan. He said chidushim, dvarm shalosh amosin oizim misinai. He said such chidushim that no one ever heard of. So it's like a problem. How does it shtim? The Gemara says in Sukkah, the end of the second parak, he only said shalayam adav shalosham and pi rabba. He was a bar suche, the ma'abitipo. He was the bokeh. And here it says he said chidushim shalosh amosin oizim misinai. So the velt answers, there's no stira. If you just maintain Masaira with no originality at all, then it's going to be stale and everything is going to fall apart. You have to maintain the Masaira, but you have to have a little spunk also. You have to have a little twist. You have to be Moisif, the Gemara has a lotion, to be Moisif Neifach Mishalo. You have to add on a little bit more. So Rabbi Leizer used to say only Dvorim that he heard from the Rebbe. Whatever he didn't hear from the Rebbe, he wouldn't say. But he heard from the Rebbe things that the others didn't hear. He heard Dvorim Shaloh Shemosanoizim, he would point it out. That the Rebbe said this, and that means that. The Rebbe said, you don't realize there are two parts to the statement. It means this and it means that. There's the rule with the exception to the rule. He heard better than the others. The others never realized that that's what the Rebbe had said.
At the best of the head.
I remember once I was sitting in a class, so the professor was saying some wild stuff. So I said, you mean to say? And I said something. I remember Rabbi Kanatopsky was sitting next to me. So he said, what are you putting words in his mouth? What are you attacking him? So the professor said, what do you mean, do I mean to say? I just said it. Kanatopsky, Zuchan Lebacha, didn't realize that that's what it's leading to. And I said, you mean to say, the next step is this. And the professor said, what do you mean, do I mean to say? I said it already. That's what I said. So that's Rablazer at the Hert from the Rebbe, things he paid attention. He had this policy only to have Masoira. He didn't say things that he didn't hear from the Rebbe, but he paid attention. And he used to analyze well. So he used to point out that the included in what the Rebbe said was this, that, and the other thing. That's, I remember many years ago, a member of Baron Lichtenstein got engaged to the Rav's daughter quite a few years ago. So I remember our Baron Soloveitchik, Zichron Livracha, was there when they had the Kiddush in the yeshiva. The Rav was not there, he was in Boston. Our Baron Soloveitchik was there on Shabbos.
He looked there.
He spoke on Shabbos. So he said that people have a taina against his brother, against Rabbi Yosher Ber, that he didn't follow Rab Chaim, the grandfather. The grandfather only had halacha, and Rav Soloveitchik had philosophy also. Where did he get this from? So he said that was the taina that the brothers had against Yosef. He had two chaloimas. He said the father only dreamt about Ruchnias Dika things. Yankov Avinu was a tzaddik, he never dreamt about Gashmias Dika things. And Yosef has a chaloim about Hashemesh Vayarech Vitzvah Shamayim, about Ruchnias Dika things. And he has a chaloim about Ma'almim Malumim, about shepherds and how to make a living and how to make parnasa. So they were complaining, the brothers were complaining, he has this new dream. Yosef had a new dream that he didn't get from the father. There's no tradition on that. So Rabban Soloveitchik pointed out that some of the Mefarshim say, no, Yankov Avinu had a dream about a Sula Mutza Varitza V'Rosha Magia Shamaima. Yosef just pointed out there are two parts to the dream that Yankov had. There was one part about Ma'almim Malumim and one part about Tzah Shamaim V'Akuchovim Hashemesh V'Yarech and everything. He just pointed out that there are two parts to the dream. So sometimes when you have a person who has to maintain a Masaira, he can't just stick to the dry Masaira. It has to have a little spunk with a little Chiddush. So that's what the Medrash points out on last week's Sedra. That when Eliezer was looking for a Shidduch for Yitzchak, so he needed a girl who was prepared to follow Masaira. So he gave her the Tzmidim and the things, and he said there's going to be an Aseres Adibras, Asar Mishkolam, there's going to be a Machtes HaShekel, there's going to be a lot of mitzvahs. Are you prepared to accept all of these things? And then he wanted to test her whether she's just going to bumpkin off everything exactly the same, or she's going to be Moisef Neufech Mishaloh. So he said, Hashkini no mi atmai mi kadek, could you give me a sip of water? And then she said, no, say, I'll give you a lot of water. I'll give to the behemoth also. So the Medrash says that that was also part of the test. He wanted to see, is she just going to say, I'll give you a sip? He asked her a sip, I'll give you a sip. No, he asked her a sip and she gave much more. So he saw that this is a smart cookie, that she is prepared to accept the whole heavy masaira, and she's prepared also to be maisif a little bit also. So she's a good shidduch for Eliezer. For
you.
The ikkah was the chesed.